Whenever you have occasion to send a card, remember a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show. And here she is, that lovable lady of stage, screen, and radio, Charlotte Greenwood.
Today we tell a story of Lakeview's earliest citizen who finds the answer to his oldest problem in one of our youngest citizens.
Well, woman, don't stand there wasting my time. If you got anything to say, come on in and say it.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Crane.
For some reason, I've heard more about you than any other woman in town, Mrs. Greenwood.
Well, there's more of me than any other woman in town. And it isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
Oh, well, I'm sorry for
that. You're sorry.
Friend Charlotte Greenwood has as her special guest today the beloved and distinguished star of stage, screen, and radio, Mr. Lionel Barrymore. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards to remind you that whenever you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Yes, don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now to the little town of Lakeview, where Aunt Charlotte is raising the three Barton youngsters, little Robert and teenage Barbara and Jack. It's late afternoon. Matilda Hamilton and Charlotte are walking home from a marketing session. Charlotte is saying,
Matilda, I love to go shopping with you. It's always so much fun.
You were lucky today, Charlotte, getting that can of salmon. How'd you ever see it? Way up there on the top shelf.
Oh, I just looked down and there it was.
Oh, my, but Lakeview is wonderful this time of year.
Mm, it is at that. Look over there at those lovely red maples.
Mm-hmm. They even managed to make that big, lonely old house look sort of nice and warm.
Which is quite a trick, considering its occupant. Simon Crane.
He's the owner, Simon Crane?
He is, and his father was before him, and his father before him, and his father before him.
Is that hearsay, or do you remember that?
I remember.
You would.
You weren't in Lakeview at the time, were you?
No, I was in my cradle.
Now, here, I'll remember writing you about it.
Well, I never got the letter.
Well, the Pony Express didn't always get through.
Same old Matilda.
You know, that place at Simon's is one of the town's oldest landmarks. They tried to buy it, but he won't sell. It's the original town meeting hall.
Oh, the original town meeting hall? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Only goes to prove that this is a one-horse town.
Nonsense, there are two of us right here.
You know, I'm just thinking of the names I've heard Simon Crane called. Crusty, Suspicious, Skinflint. Well, those are the milder ones.
I'm sure there's plenty of good in Simon's makeup if somebody takes the trouble to find it.
Charlotte, you say that about all people.
It's true, Matilda. Whatever else you may be, Simon Crane is certainly people. Well, Matilda, thanks for walking with me to the bus.
So we're going to get a new car as soon as the auto companies start reconverting from war production.
Oh, I sat in one of the first open roadsters off the reconversion line.
That must have been quite a sensation.
It was. While I was sitting in it, a fellow came out and said, gee, they forgot to take the anti-aircraft gun off that one.
You should see how funny the living room looks. Why, we're moving all the furniture.
Your sister is having a dancing party tonight.
Dancing party?
Mm-hmm.
To make you sit around and dance?
It's an idea. I never tried a sitting down.
Well, Spencer is fun, Robert.
Well, it certainly kept me any fun on a cottage floor.
Oh, that's what I like best.
Why?
Oh, it makes me think I've got a partner.
Oh, boy, we sure gave it to him today. Hi, Aunt Charlotte. Quick Cooper took a pass on our 20-yard line and he went over standing up.
Yeah, well, judging from your face, you didn't do much standing up.
Hiya, Robert.
Greetings, Steve. Aunt Charlotte, do you think girls will ever play football?
Never. There's one big obstacle to prevent it.
What's that?
You'll never get 11 women to wear the same kind of a hat.
Zach, how are you standing up in your studies?
Well, I'm worried, Aunt Charlotte. I got to pass all my exams to be eligible to play, so I got to cram like a crazy square.
Well, when is this all going to happen?
Right away, tonight, as soon as supper's over.
Did I hear someone say supper?
What about it, Aunt Charlotte? Can we eat soon? I still have loads to do before the gang comes.
Gang? What gang? Barbara, who's coming and why?
A few of my friends, Mr. Barton. You know I do have some.
Yeah, but you can't have them here tonight.
Oh, I can't.
Point of order.
What's that, Aunt Charlotte?
Well, that's in a meeting, Robert, when everyone starts talking at once and things go off the beans. Now, look, children, I gather that you're all anxious to eat and finish early.
Yeah, and I've got to study.
Well, then, suppose you wash the football field off your face. Come to think of it, my face looks like a football field, too.
What do you mean?
Wherever you look, there's lines. Barbara, would you set the table, please? And Robert?
Point of order, Aunt Charlotte.
All right. What is it, darling?
I think something's burning.
Oh, heavens, it's the soup.
It's the meat.
It's the potatoes.
Well, who's that?
Oh, probably a fire insurance salesman.
I subscribe to a course.
Oh?
How to become popular in 1 year by buying a personality book every month.
Uh-huh.
The first book says if you carry yourself right, the boys will stare at you. I mean, they really do. I mean, they do really. I mean, the book is right. I mean, they really stare.
I see. Get the look of the month from the book of the month, eh?
Can you see it from way up there?
Uh-huh. Oh, and Gertrude, it works. You know, Jerry Stewart over there is staring at you. I think he wants to dance with you.
I know, but I'd rather dance with a tall fella. I mean, I really would. I mean, I would really. I mean, you go up with everybody when you've got a tall partner. Is that the way it is with you?
Yes, if he's tall enough to use my belt buckle for a rear view mirror.
Well, if you'll excuse me, Miss Greenwood, I think I'll really dance. I mean, I really will. I mean, I... Oh, hello, Sylvester.
Hello there. Miss Greenwood, Jack wants to see you upstairs right away.
Oh, what is it, Sylvester?
Dunno.
Well, didn't Jack say what it was?
Yes.
Yes, well, what did he say it was?
Very important.
Oh, never mind, I'll go right up. What is it, Jack?
It's that racket downstairs and me trying to study. Gee whiz, Aunt Charlotte, what could be tougher than trying to concentrate on history while listening to Harry James?
Trying to concentrate on Harry James while looking at Betty Grable.
But seriously, Aunt Charlotte, why did Barbara have to pick on this house?
No, it's her house too, son. There's nothing wrong with Barbara having her friends here to dance.
No, and there's nothing wrong with my trying to study either.
No, I know that's right, Jack, but the point is this.
Hello,
now, we...
Aunt Charlotte?
Yes, come in, Barbara.
Aunt Charlotte, is it all right?
It seems to me, Barbara, that you could find someplace else to dance.
What's eating you?
Point of order, children. Now, tell me, Barbara, is this get-together going to be a regular affair here?
Why, yes. Most of the parents don't like the kids to go dancing at those places on Shore Road.
Well, I agree with them.
And the restaurants are too expensive for us. Besides, we have such a swell phonograph here, and the house is bigger than most of the others.
But I've got to study.
Well, I like that. A girl can't have a friend to her own home.
Oh, dry up.
Children, a house divided cannot stand.
Well, that's what Lincoln said.
I know. I was there when he said it. Said it. Now, presumably, the answer to this can't be found in the Barton house.
I should say not. They ought to hire a hall.
But what other house is there to meet in?
Other house? Oh, there's a clock. I wonder. Children, am I or am I not the president of the Lakeview Children's Recreation Committee?
Well, yes, you are, but I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I haven't got it yet, but I'm going to make a try at getting it bright and early in the morning.
Dunno, Miss Greenwood. Don't know why we're calling on Simon Crane.
Don't know what help I can be.
Well, Sylvester, you and Robert and I are about the three most different people you could find. Now, one of us is bound to hit it off with Simon Crane.
He's coming now. I hear him.
Well, I'll knock again just to make sure.
Watch him turn in a hurry. Patience isn't going to open that door. You can either wait for me or go about your business. I don't care which. Oh, quite a delegation. I suppose I ought to be honored.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Crane. Forgive us for disturbing you.
Disturb me? I paid my taxes and I don't owe a penny in the world. You can't disturb me, madam.
Take a second look.
Yeah, well, I see what you mean.
Unfortunately, it's Miss Charlotte Greenwood.
Greenwood? Seems like I heard that name.
You may have. I'm an actress.
You must have talent.
What makes you say that?
Second look I took.
How right you are.
See, now, I know you from someplace. Oh, yeah, you're the woman who's raising those Martin children.
Oh, take a bow, Robert. This is the youngest, Mr. Crane.
Hi.
And this is my good friend, Sylvester Adams.
Hello, love.
I took the liberty of calling on you because Sylvester's from New England, and he doesn't believe we know how to build our old meeting halls in this part of the land.
Doesn't he? Well, we build him to stand. He can see that for himself.
Also, it's time Robert learned some American history firsthand.
It's time when someone in this town did. It's time someone remembered what this place means to this town. Stop thinking of it as a piece of real estate to make a profit on.
Exactly, Mr. Crane. So you see that...
So you thought you'd come and call on old Simon Crane, huh? That's pretty good, Miss Greenwood, but not good enough. You're not fooling me.
Oh, it's the truth, Mr. Crane.
But not the whole truth. Is that it?
Well, I thought we could talk about that inside.
Now it comes out, does it? Well?
May we come in, Mr. Crane?
You want to come in, do you? Well, I'm not stopping you. But there's not a sharp trick I don't know. So it won't do you any good trying to pull your feminine charms on me.
Oh, I don't know about that. I was the sweater girl of my day.
Sweater girl?
While the rest of the girls were out dancing, I was home knitting. Now, may we come in?
There.
These days, thousands of our boys are wearing the Honorable Discharge emblem. And yet thousands more are still in uniform. Wherever they are, the thought of home is closest to their hearts. And your letters, your cheery, colorful cards, can help see them through till their homecoming. This week, make it a point to go to your Hallmark dealers. Choose a variety of cards to send to the servicemen you know. For instance, choose a number of cards, each with a different message and design, and send one every so often to tell your serviceman he's in your thoughts. You'll find so many unusual Hallmark cards, some with affectionate personal sentiments, some with just a friendly hello. They're clever cards, packed full of good old American humor. And don't overlook those Hallmark cheer cards that can do so much for a fellow in sick bay, or a GI who's just plain blue. There's always a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. So remember those homesick heroes regularly. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. Don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Now back to the Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood show. Barbara wants to give dancing parties at their house. Jack demands quiet to study. And as a first step towards solving this problem, Aunt Charlotte, Robert, and Sylvester have called upon old Simon Crane, whose home was the original Lakeview Town Meeting Hall. Charlotte is saying.
This is a big but friendly room, Mr. Crane.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah, still. Never did see a meeting hall as big as this one down east in Maine, never did. No, no. Lumber's too precious, I guess.
Lumber. Man, you're looking at black walnut. Every board foot of this room is black walnut. Walls, the floor, benches, everything. Why, some of the trees were over 100 years old.
Gee, how can you tell?
From the rings, son, from the rings. You can tell many things about a tree from the rings it's got.
You can tell one thing about me from the ring I haven't got. black walnut is pretty rare these days, isn't it, Mr. Crane?
Rare? Isn't a lick of black walnut left in these parts, except for what I got stored in the basement.
Basement? Jerry, could I? I mean, Aunt Charlotte, could I?
Well, ask Mr. Crane.
Want to do a little exploring, huh? Basements and boys. Now, go on. Go ahead. Right through that door there. Mind the stairs.
I think maybe I'll go with him.
Gee,
be careful, Robert.
Okay, Aunt Charlotte.
Yeah, nothing down there to hurt him. Makes a difference having a youngster in the place.
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
It's been... Now, madam, suppose you speak your mind. It's been 30 years since the body came pleasure calling on Simon Crane. So I know it ain't that.
It's been a pleasure so far.
Don't soft soap me with your feminine wiles.
Mr. Crane, I couldn't soft soap any man because, romantically speaking, I've been washed up for years.
Why did you come here?
Well, why do you think I've come here?
You want my property, that's why. Everybody does. Worth a lot of money, they say. That being the case, it's worth a lot for me to hold on to it.
Well, you'd be foolish to sell it.
How's that? You're the first person... Now, look here, Miss Greenwood. I'm a deal older than you.
You're the first one to ever admit it. But if you'd like to reminisce, I might surprise you.
Madam...
It's Miss...
Don't interrupt. Out with it. How much are you offering?
How much, Mr. Crane? If you'd said how little, that would have been more like it.
Mm-hmm. You weren't born yesterday.
Both of us are getting more truthful.
All right. How little are you offering?
Not a penny. I couldn't offer anything if I wanted to.
You're either more honest than anyone who ever came here, or more slick. I've seen plenty come and go. I've been here a good long time. Might even say I'm a historic figure.
Mm-hmm. You might even say the same thing about me.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I've got a figure like the Washington Monument.
Oh, the higher you go, the more you come to the point, huh? Never thought there was a soul in this town didn't come here to do me out of something. Well, sit down. Sit down here and tell me all about yourself.
That's the story of Aunt Charlotte and the Barton children.
Heap of responsibility, I say.
Well, in a way, I feel about them the way you do about this fine old meeting hall, a sort of trust.
Hmm.
Jiminy, is that a routine basement at Charlotte? Golly, you ought to see all the little wooden... Gee, Sylvester said they must be cribs.
Yeah, for babies.
Is that right, Mr. Crane? They're so small.
Yeah, small babies in those days.
Those days ended when I was born.
Come here, son. Sit down. I'll tell you about those cribs. That's just what they are. Baby cribs.
Why are the cribs down there?
Well, that's where they were kept, son. When the women folk of Lakeview came to the town meetings, they put their babies in those cribs downstairs. One lady'd watch over them while the rest attended the meeting.
What about the men?
Stop taking the words out of my mouth.
I'd like to show the boy what's upstairs.
Upstairs? Golly, you ought to see the stuff in our attic. Would you come over sometime, Mr. Crane?
I don't do much calling these days.
Sylvester, wouldn't you say Mr. Crane has the look of a good fly fisherman?
Yes.
Miss Greenwood, how'd you know I was a fisherman?
Oh, I can spot one right away. My father was a fisherman.
He was?
Yeah, but I didn't turn out to be much of a catch.
You know, Mr. Crane, I got some mighty fine trout flies.
Yes.
Another cast, but what is the strike?
That's a rock-bound New England boaster if I ever heard one.
Well,
How are you on old-fashioned cream pie, Mr. Crane?
Crazy about it. Not that they know how to make it these days.
Oh, don't they? Well, you come over to the house tonight, and I'll make you eat those words along with the pie.
Well, no.
Oh, Dolly, would you? I'll show you the attic.
And there's my top five.
Sounds like I'm being outvoted.
Yes, sir. 3-1.
Hold on. Now, not so fast. You still haven't told me why you came here. You realize that, young woman?
I can resist anything but flattery. There are two reasons, Mr. Crane. One is old-fashioned cream pie, and the other is the Lakeview Children's Recreation Committee, of which I happen to be president.
Yes. I can't say I see the connection.
Oh, but you will.
I still think you're trying to do me out of the house.
Then play safe when you come over tonight.
Oh.
Don't bring the house with you. I never knew Lakeview had a past like that. You're not fooling me with those yarns of yours, Mr. Crane. Go on, take a third helping of pie.
I couldn't.
Why not?
Just finished my fourth.
Well, take a fifth.
Miss Greenwood, another piece would be rank folly in my condition. Battlefield is not the only place where discretion is a better part of valor.
No, there's the matrimonial field, too. Jack, if you want to study, you're excused from KP tonight.
Well, gee, why didn't I get a break like that last night?
Aunt Charlotte, is he going to start that business all over again?
Yes, I am. If Barbara's going to pick the nights I have to study to invite those squares over here to dance.
Don't tell me the young one's taking up square dancing, yeah?
Ha, ha, ha. Square, Mr. Crane, is a jive expression.
Jive?
Jitterbug, don't you follow me?
I don't think very well on an empty stomach.
Oh.
Pass me another piece of pie.
Oh, now you're cooking on the front burner.
Hey, Aunt Charlotte, what's going to be about that dancing?
Oh, really, Aunt Charlotte? This is hardly the time in front of a complete stranger.
How's that, young lady? You can't call a man who's eaten a meal like this a stranger. I suspect a little trouble in the Barton Paradise, Miss Greenwood.
Oh, it's nothing at all. You see, Jack is studying for his midterms, and Barbara's friends are having dancing get-togethers here at the house, and...
And the two don't mix, eh?
Mr. Crane, you're so understanding. Now, in Barbara's case...
Aunt Charlotte, you know there really isn't another house that's suitable.
Oh, let's not talk about it now.
Why not, young fella? Why not? What better time? Now, I say there never was a problem made by a man that couldn't be solved by a man. Is that right, Miss Greenwood?
Oh, you couldn't prove that by me. The fact is, it isn't a Barton problem. It's a Lakeview problem.
Lakeview, of course. There should be a place where the youngsters could get together and enjoy themselves.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. Of course, I should have thought of that as head of the recreation committee.
Recreation? Now, you've hit it. A place where they can dance and play.
Yeah, now you've hit it.
The Dramatic Society could use it.
We could have a game room, a ping-pong tournament.
Say, in all this excitement, did anyone stop to think there is such a place?
There is? There really is?
There most certainly is. There's my place.
Your place?
My place served the town well enough for many a year as the original meeting hall. And it's high time we put it to work again.
Gee,
God. Dolly.
Jimmy.
Cricket. Now, young man, what's the long face for?
Well, sir, it sounds great, but I know what a big place like yours would cost to rent. And, gee, we couldn't swing it.
Well, suppose all the young children in Lakeview were interested.
You mean set up a regular organization with dues?
Why not? And we charge for dances and shows. We could make enough money to pay the rent that way, I'll bet.
Mr. Crane, the floor is yours. How does that last proposal strike you?
Well, I'll tell you. It doesn't.
Oh.
Nope. It doesn't strike me at all.
See? I told you.
It doesn't strike me because I'm not interested in business deals. That old building of mine rendered this town a public service.
And that's the reason you'd never sell it and see it turned into a laundry or a roadhouse?
That's right, young woman.
Mr. Crane, do you mean that you...
Mr. Crane's not through yet, Jack.
You youngsters have shown the right kind of spirit, the spirit we need in this town. I don't intend to make any profit off you.
You don't?
Of course not. What do you think I am? A square?
Well, gee, that's great, but... Well, you still have to charge us enough rent to pay the taxes, and
We couldn't raise enough for that.
Taxes.
Speaking of taxes, I asked the city council this very afternoon if a non-profit Young People's Recreation Club could be tax-exempt.
Oh, golly, that was smart.
Oh, no, just practical.
Well, hey, but what happened?
The decision, ladies and gentlemen, is that such a club, if put into operation without cost to the town, would be tax-free.
Oh!
1 minute,
oh, friend. Children, Mr. Crane wants to say something.
Three things. One, as long as there'll be no taxes, there'll be no rent either.
I propose
that your dues be used to buy phonograph records and all the other paraphernalia you'll need to fix this place up.
Second,
now that we have a place to hold dances, I propose a toast to the president of the Lakeview Children's Recreation Committee.
I second that.
Well, what do we toast with?
I suggest another round of old-fashioned cream pie.
I'm way ahead of you this time, Simon Crane. Look on your plate.
First
proposal?
For the inaugural dancing party, I'll furnish the cake and soda pop and trim it.
On
one condition.
Oh, I thought I detected a gleam in the man's eye.
Since you'll all be going in couples, I'd like to be in step with the crowd. I'd like to have I guess you'd call it a date myself. That's my condition.
That's your condition now, but you'll be in no condition when I get through with you after the party. Shall I dress formal?
Formal? I thought you were modern. Hep in the groove.
I am. I'm your grooverini.
Solid.
Oh, and I'm honored to accept your invitation, sir.
Again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Yes, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friends, we hear a lot of talk these days about atomic power. The part it plays in war or peace are topics of the hour. A force so great must be controlled. On that, we're all agreed. The world must never let it serve for conquest or for greed. And yet I wonder if you've thought that all of us possess a force more powerful in its way to give out happiness. A force that's ended many wars, that's changed the lives of men, a force whose use is up to you, the force that's called the pen. For pens are mightier than swords, as time has proven true, not only in the affairs of state, but individuals too. So let's all turn this force we own to good and rightful ends. Let's use our pens on cards and notes to make and keep our friends. And now, until next Sunday, at the very same time, Mrs. Charlotte Greenwood says,
so long, friends, until we meet again. So long, neighbor, till next Sunday.
Metro-Golden-Mayer, producers of Weekend at the Waldorf. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show came to you from Hollywood. This is Wendell Niles speaking. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show is written by Leon Meadow, Bill Cole, and Hi Alexander. The part of Sylvester is played by Ian Wolf, Martin Sheldon, Barbara, Robert, and Jack, played by Barbara Nye.
3 o'clock at KECA, Los Angeles. Transcribed.